Once again, good morning, church. I am the Lord your God. The Lord is speaking. He says, and you must. Most people have no problem with this text. The only word that bothers them is the must. You know, they can read this verse over and over again, but they stuck on that must. Must means there is no other choice. If we want to retain our lives, if we want to retain our eternity, our communion with God, there is a must. We will be talking a little bit about the must today. Today's message is entitled, of course, You Must Be Holy. This is a sentence that comes from God to us. And emphasis, again, you must. Now, for there are some here that were not here the past 2 weeks. So for your benefit, I'm going to quickly share a few things. The word holy in the Hebrew Bible, which some Christians call the Old Testament, is Kodesh. It appears all over the Bible. Not only in the first part of the Bible, but then equivalent in Greek, also in the new, what we call New Testament. But the word holy is meant to set apart, sacred, everything. Every time the word sacred or set apart, it means holy, Kodesh. Sanctified is also Kodesh. Pure. Many people don't realize this, but even when the Bible talks about purity, it talks about holiness. And when the Bible also talks about us being consecrated, is to be holy, to be clean. We mentioned a little bit about this. Many people don't realize that even your shower in the morning or in the afternoon has to do with holiness. And hallow. Now, we call a lot of things holy in this life that are not really holy. How many times we call Hollywood? And if you go there, there's nothing holy about that place. And we call holidays, they are not holy at all. They are just days that people do not go to work or they do other things. And there are even some very evil days that people, yeah, that's the one, brother. I heard one brother just said Halloween. It's not hollow at all, you know, but they name it holy. So we need to know, and the Bible tells us what is holy, what is not. Holy in the Bible, it means to be a set apart, to be sanctified, only can be done by God. Human beings have the tendency to try to make things holy. We make holy water, we make holy places, we make saints, we make all those things. That is just humans trying to be in place of God, but we cannot make anything holy. Only God can make something holy. A state of belonging to God. Acts of perfect morality. A reflection of God's image in us, His character. And a life of holiness and total devotion to God. That's why it's described. What a biblical holiness is. A Bible states that God's holiness is the essence of what God is. The great I am. God is holy. He tells us, if you are my child, you must be holy as well. God is perfect. God says, you should be perfect as well. There is no evil in him. And he says, I don't want any evil on you either, if you are my child. There is no imperfection in him. He wants us to be perfect. He doesn't want us to have any imperfection. And sin is an imperfection. We are created to share his image, to be like him, his holiness, his name, his love, his life, his law, everything that is his possessions, and of course, his perfection. That is God's goal for you and I as we are created in his image. Now, holy word. The Bible calls word Jesus Christ. It calls also the Bible itself as the word of God. It's also the word that creates, bara. What God speaks, he creates. So Jesus is the Word. Also, the law is called the Word. And so Holy Word is the law, which is expressed the will of God, the Bible, and Jesus Christ. Everything that expresses God's character is holy. Now, make them holy by your truth. And who is the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am life. No, he says, I am the truth and life. That's the path. Teach them your word, which is truth. Now, time. Last week we talked about time. God is the only one who can make time holy. Nobody else. Nobody else from any religion has the power to declare any day holy. Only God can make time holy. And he made. How he made time holy? By put his own name on the word Sabbath. And if you look at the word Saturday, Abba is not there. But if you look at the word Sabbath, Abba is there. Why? Because Abba created the word Sabbath and he put his own name in the middle of the word Sabbath. That's why Abba is there, our creator. And he says, keep it holy. He didn't say, make it holy. We cannot make the Sabbath holy. We can only keep it holy by relating to the Creator. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Very clear is stated. Now, a place. If you go around the world, you'll find a lot of places they call holy. Or either because they say there was a saint that lived there, or because some event took place there. One place that's very typical, you go in Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem or the new, you find a lot of places that are shrines that people declare as holy. You go other places, Saudi Arabia, you go to Asia, you go all over the world. In India, there are many places they call holy because it's used by religious purpose. But who makes any place holy? Only the presence of God. Only God has the power and the desire to make it. He says this in Leviticus 19, verse 30. You find that also in 26, 2. New King James Version says, you shall keep my Sabbath. What is making that Sabbath very unique and important is the mine. God is taking ownership. He says, my, that's why I am present. Abba is there. And he says, you must show reverence for my sanctuary. Reverence means respect to where God is. Sanctuary is the word sanct, means holy as well. A place that is making holy because God is present. Because I am the Lord. Holy name. And this is what we did not discuss last week. And for this week, holy name. If you look at the Ten Commandments, which one it makes a clear reference to God's name? You need by now to know your Ten Commandments correctly. What number do you think is the one, what number you think is the commandment that talks about the name of God? The third commandment, of course, is the one who talks. Why is the third commandment? By the way, for God, nothing happens by accident. Everything is divinely planned. Because what comes next is how to keep his name holy. Amen. See, before is almost an introduction to the fourth commandment, is the third commandment. So we'll show it on the screen. Now, before we go there, let's share something with you. Some of you are very familiar with the name Yahweh. It's the Hebrew word which God used to describe himself to Moses. Remember, Moses came and has this concept of a polytheistic view because he was raised in Egypt. And so when God manifests to him, he says, which one are you? Are you the god falcon or the cat or the dog or the sun? Are you a dead pharaoh? Which one are you? And God said, I am what I am, meaning Yahweh. And Hebrew means that this implied that it says, I am, means the only one who is. There's nothing else there. Everything else may claim to exist, but I am the one. And exploring this, it means not only to be, but is the creator of all thing that is. It means everything exists because I am. In other words, he introduced himself as the creator. Indirectly, as Abba, the Yahweh. He says, many scholars believe that the most proper name for God's name, it may be, he brings into existence, everything that exists. Nothing can exist without him bring them to existence. Yahweh, Asher Yahweh. Long before Moses, many people think that, Moses was the first time they heard the name Yahweh. Not so. Look here what it says. Moses' mother was named Jochebed. Now, this is the Latin has already changed the first letter of this. Actually, it's a Jochebed, which means Yahweh is glory. So how could she be named after Yahweh if the name did not exist? Yes, it already existed, even before Moses was told. That was for his benefit and for him to pass on. But the name already existed, of course. The Hebrew name Judah, or we say Judah, means Yahweh be praised. So that long before. So the name was around. In the Hebrew Bible, Judah is the fourth son of Jacob, which actually in original, Jacob is with a Y. It's because it is Yahweh. Yahweh protects. That's the meaning of the name Jacob. And we know that because of the name Judah, today we have a Judea, we have a Jew, and it's all has the Y. The J is because, again, the Latin has changed the J, the Y into a J. But actually, is Yud, Yuda, is the name. Now, this person that we symbolize with this picture, Jesus, we have Jesus with J, but actually, in the beginning, it's also with a Y, is Yahshua. Okay, which means Yahweh saves. You shall not take the name. Here's the commandment. Number? The third one. You shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain. What it means to take something in vain? Anybody knows what vanity is? What does vain means? You do not take lordship over God's name for your own. You know, vanity has to do with self-worship. And so when he says, do not take God's name in vain, he says, don't use for your own, misuse it. Make sure that it is properly used, for the Lord will not hold him or her guiltless who takes his name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. And in verse 8 comes the fourth commandment. Given to the Lord the glory due to his name. Each one over here have a name, a last name. How do you get a last name? How do we get a last name? We receive from our parents, right? And sometimes we receive from marrying to another family, we get a last name. When we are God's people, we all receive his name. When we are baptized, we become his property. Therefore, we are called upon his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29, verse 2, New King James Version. And so, to those that are attending us online, I'd like to mention to you that I wish you could see all the pictures, but if you have a computer, you can go and see the messages being recorded and will be posted on the website, and you can see the graphics, because one thing is to see the picture and hear the text at the same time. We are very blessed to have Brother Al with us as well, Sister Gladys, and many others that are here attending online. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. And what does it say? The first thing is emphasis on the holiness of His name, your name. Matthew 6, verse 9. Now also, the next is holy possession, or should we say possessions. Okay, everything, we already said this, everything that belongs to God is holy. Will a man or woman rob God? Yet you have robbed me. That's what God is speaking. But you may say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Malachi 3, verse 8. When we use this text, some people become a little bit nervous. So we have to say, because it's not scripture, okay? So we have to talk about, many people don't like when we talk about finances, but look this way. Every dollar, every money that we possess, it is time that was converted into currency. So look into tithe and offerings as part of the time that God gives to you. And all that He's asking is for you to give back to Him to show that you trust Him. Okay? Now here it comes. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Everything belongs to God becomes holy. Now, it is holy to the Lord, Leviticus 27:30. Now, here is one point that many people don't realize. I have, throughout the been a Seventh-day Adventist for so long, attended church for so long, I have noticed that some people are very faithful in returning 10% of their income, but nothing else. Because they got an idea somewhere, somehow, that the tithe is holy. Amen. But the offerings are not. The offerings is, if I feel like. The Bible is called the offerings holy as well. Why are they holy? The word sacred means holy. Why are they holy? Because God says, it's mine. Tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from all whose heart are moved to offer them. And you find that in Exodus chapter 25, verse 2, New Living Translation. So all the offerings are sacred, as holy as the tithe is holy. So when you return tithe, that's wonderful. But remember, offerings are holy to the Lord as well. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, and this is the easy reading version, you should know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that you receive from God. Therefore, you're holy as well when the Holy Spirit resides in you. He says, you don't own yourselves. You are God's property. He says, God paid a very high price. If you have an idea sometimes, if you feel down, if your self-esteem is a little bit down, look in the mirror and say to yourself, hey kid, God put a high price on your life. Wake up. You are too precious to feel depressed. God has paid a price for you. He says, so honor God with your body, with everything that you have. God chose us to be holy. He doesn't not want us to be messed up with sin, to be impure with sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, easy reading version. He does not want us to live in sin. God's possessions, everything belongs to God, as I said before. Everything that belongs to Him, it must be taken into consideration that we need to bring back to Him so that we really show that we appreciate what He has done for us. Tithe and offerings. Now, giving, I want to share this with you. Many people don't realize giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of holiness, because we return to God what is His, and everything is His is holy, as we mentioned a few times before. So giving is worship. Now, holy life. Some of you here have heard, we mentioned a little bit last week, but we're going to mention again, because some of you may never have even realized that what is this in the Bible all about. Holy life. Here's Moses saying, you must keep what is holy. You must keep what is clean. By the way, I divide the text on purpose. So it says, you must keep what is holy. You must keep what is clean. What happens when you are clean? You want something that is clean. But what about if you're clean and you grab something that is not clean? What happens? You become unclean. Leviticus talk about this all the time. It says, separate from what is not holy. Leviticus mean here is separate yourselves from what is not clean. You don't go to a theater to watch something that is not clean. You don't turn your computer and watch what is not clean. You don't read a book and read something that is not clean. You don't talk to people that are talks dirty all the time, because whatever they say, it comes to you and becomes part of what you are. When somebody starts to be very verbally abused with a choice of their word, or either you ask the person, please don't, or you walk away, don't become a punch bag for somebody who decides to take all that trash out of them and throw on you. If you were close to somebody, especially these days, and the person is coughing a lot, would you step away a little bit? Why? Because I don't want to get whatever you is bothering you. I don't want to get. I want to take that. So we step as a caution, right? As a caution. So the Bible tells us clearly that we need to separate from what is unclean, so that we don't become unclean either. Be kind when somebody's coughing beside you. So don't run for your life like the person is. Be kind, but also always be aware that you need to take care of yourself. Leviticus 10:10. Mark this in your Bible. This is the New Century Version. You must keep what is holy. Separate from what is not holy. You must keep what is clean. Separate for what is unclean. Do not make yourselves unclean by eating any of this. What is this? T-H-E-S-E. What are these referring to? If you read, it gives a whole list of things that you should not be eating or touching or associate with. But don't think only about what you're eating physically, but what you're listening to, what you're looking to, because you are the temple of God. Such creatures must be considered unclean. You must not eat them or even touch them, no matter how kind of spice they put on it, no matter how many other vegetables they mix with it. It doesn't matter if they do in a Brazilian way, the Portuguese way, or the Tanzania's way, or it doesn't matter what kind of spice they put to it. The spice may change the flavor, but doesn't change the substance. What is unclean, folks. And God says, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. The people must consider the priest holy. And by the way, I'm not a priest. I'm a pastor, okay? And so the people must consider the priest holy. Why? Only because he presents the food offerings to me. Because he stands before me and I am the Lord, he says. I am holy. And so if he stands before me, he must be holy also. And the Bible says clearly, the priests, before they stand before God, they would have to go through a process of make sure that everything was okay with them. Clean. It's very sad in this day and age. People forgot the perspective of all this. And sometimes we have people in a platform. By the way, I consider this place holy. And I don't believe that as a church should ever invite somebody that is not qualified to speak God's word from this pulpit. Amen. You have the obligation to protect this. A brief story that's going to give me, it's going to put me in trouble, but I'll go for it. I mentioned this before here once, but some of you may never heard the story. I was introduced as a new pastor to a congregation that I had some difficulties with the previous pastor, because the previous pastor, he was a very conservative pastor, but then he decided to go on a different state of mind. He went from one place to another extreme. And he started telling his church, you know, if you don't want a tie, don't put a tie. If you don't want to wear pants, just come with shorts. If you don't want long sleeve, you can come with a whatever. You don't come to church. God, all that God wants is for you to be here. You have heard people preach like that, right? There's those that mentality that come, it's fine, there's no big deal. And the church went to a very serious problem. The church lost most of the members. It was left for a very few members left of the church. And now we are being introduced as a new pastor after more than 5 years without a pastor. And so the president came and introduced me. The president of the conference came and introduced me. But before he introduced me, he says, this pulpit belongs to the Southeastern California Conference. He said, what he was trying to tell the members, it was the conference responsibility to choose the pastor who occupied. But I think it came completely wrong the way he put it. So here he sat there with his wife, and I came to preach my first sermon. And the first thing that I said, it says, and I mentioned his name, I said, with all due respect, but I have to disagree with you. This does not belong to the Southeastern California Conference. It doesn't belong to Pastor Elson. It doesn't belong to this church. It belongs to the Almighty One. Amen. Who we speak about him in this place. Amen. He is the only one who can bring meaning to this pulpit. This pulpit is not any different than any pulpit that a politician may use to say whatever they want to say. What makes the difference is what is spoken from here. And so, I am the Lord, I am holy, and I make my people holy. Nobody else can make you holy but the Lord himself. And they shall teach my people. Who are they? Us, the pastor, the preachers. He says, they shall teach my people the difference between holy and unholy. And I feel sometimes sad that I hear ministers saying, no, Jesus made every food clean now. You can go and they are doing just the opposite of what God tells them. We are supposed to teach the difference. And not only the difference in food, but in the difference in teachings. It has to be solid. If you open your Bibles in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says this clearly. Even if a messenger from heaven comes, even if somebody from a divinity comes here and teaches something that is different than is what here, let that be a curse. And every week, people are teaching things that are not from here. Sometimes even on the Seventh-day Adventist churches as well. We need to be loyal to God and to God alone. We need to know the distinction between what is holy is what is unholy. What is clean and what is not clean. It is our responsibility. It is my responsibility to you. It's your responsibility to yourself and to those that you relate to. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, Jesus Christ told them, I'm going to give you power to deal with unclean spirits. Brothers and sisters, we have to claim the power to deal with unclean spirits as well. Do you know what the unclean spirits are? Those that get, Jesus Christ took the unclean spirits from this young man, and unclean spirit says, where do we go now? And they saw a bunch of pigs. And says, what about there? Okay, unclean to unclean. Oh, it fits. Go. And they got into the pigs, and the pigs run and fell and killed themselves. And what happened? The people that were owners of those pigs, they got with a very unclean spirits on them, and they immediately tried to kill Jesus. So that's what happened, to cast them out and to heal. So the unclean spirits cause disease, unclean things cause disease, but the absence of what is unclean, in other words, holiness, bring us away from sickness and diseases. But as he who calls you is holy, you must be holy as well, my brothers and sisters, with your conduct, everything that you do. Because it's written, be holy, for God is holy. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one shall see God. Unclean people, unholy people, will not stand before God. There is no communion between darkness and light. You cannot be unclean all your life and then expect to be in the presence of the Holy One. But you are a chosen generation. Who is God speaking about? Brother Jed, I wish the whole church here, everybody would have a going like a chorus with you. So let me ask the question to give everybody an opportunity to respond. Who is the Bible talking about when it says, you are a chosen generation? Us. Say with gusto. Us.
The whole world.
Us. Not the whole world. Those that are chosen to relate to God. Those that are call God their Abba. Their Father, their Creator, those that respect. It says, a royal priesthood. So you are a priest too. And the priest must be holy, right?
Yes.
It says, a holy nation. Brother Cleveland was talking about an accent. When I came to the United States, I noticed something very unique about the American people. One very unique thing. They always spoke with an accent. I realized that everybody, I came to a country, everybody has an accent. If you have any doubt, ask the British. Ask the Australians. They all think that you have a very funny accent, that we have a funny accent. And then I fell right in. I said, oh, I have not to worry about how I speak because everybody here speaks with an accent. Yes. His own special people. We are his own special people.
Amen.
That we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what this verse is saying? God has called you out of uncleanness to make you clean. God take you out of darkness to make you into light. God take you out of nothing to make you to be someone. I tell children this. I play with the words with children sometimes. It says, do you know the difference between somebody who knows who they are and somebody who has no clue? You can be a nobody or you can be a somebody. What happens to nobody? When nobody talks to somebody, somebody cannot hear. Because somebody never understands nobody. And I tell the kids, the problem with nobody is that nobody thinks that everybody is nobody. And so they talk a nobody language. And when they are surprised that nobody understands them, because everybody is somebody. They are the only nobody. And I play like this with the words, with the children. They understand the concept that in order for people to understand you, if you are somebody, it speaks to somebody. Because when nobody listens to you, they cannot understand you if you are somebody. But if you are nobody, then nobody understands you. But you choose. If you fellowship with nobody, you become nobody. But if you seek to be in the presence of somebody, somebody will value you, and you become somebody. Too much of that, right? How can you young people become pure, holy, clean? The secret is very simple. Do God's will. Behave like your Father, your Heavenly Father, and you will be clean, you'll be pure. Holy. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, if you have a phone, if you want to take a picture of this, it's important for you to remember this. If you forget everything else that we said this morning, now afternoon, look at this. H in holiness, it means humility. What is humility? Service. The greatest of all the things that we do in life is to serve. Amen. We serve in a community. We serve a family. We serve our children. We serve everything we do, we serve. The people that are so self-centered, the worst thing that can happen in their lives is for them to expect them to serve anything. But if you are a person empty of yourself, if you start acting like you're a holy person, the first thing that people will notice in you is your humility, the absence of selfishness. That is the process of holiness. Then comes the next step. What is next? Obedience. It is the spirit of selfless that allow us to be obedient, to give ourselves to God. Now, what is the L we stand for? L we stand for love. The Bible says God is love. Everything that is love is in God. So humility, obedience, love. And Pastor, what is going to be that Y all about? Notice that the Y has two, I divide the Y in a collar. This first collar here. The first color is the color for Yahweh. The second is for you. Okay? So humility, obedience, love, that makes what you are, what is expected of you. Now, let's do this again. But now, God's view towards us. It is still humility. God, one thing that the Bible shows to us, that God serves us. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing that God did? He came down for a meeting. And immediately says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And he has been saying this for 6,000 years. And he's still saying this today. Where are you? What are you doing with your life? Where are you? And they said, well, we are here. We are unclean. We are naked. We feel awkward. Why? Why do you feel this way? Did you touch what you're not supposed to touch? Did you eat what you're not supposed to eat? Are you feel less holy now because you did touch something that you're not supposed to? See, folks, it's the whole thing, the Leviticus all over again, the same concept. You must be clean. Why you feel unclean? Because you touched what brought you sin, brought you death. The next one is the one that we have mentioned here. Ownership. We are his possession. Ownership, when God claims us as his, we are holy. So God claims us as his own. Then, of course, the next one is love. God is love. But also the Bible says God is life. The Bible says God is the law. Because the law is a reflection of what love is. Love to God and love to human beings. That is also life. Yahweh is the one, the only one who is. The one who brings everything to existence. But guess what I found? What is another name that is extremely important to us that starts with a Y as well? Yeshua. So one is the God who brought everything to existence. The other one is the one who manifests, took a humanity in order to bring everything back into existence. Humility, ownership, love, life, law, Yahweh, Yahshua. And why I chose to put the colon divided? Because that is for you to think, we are holy only in him. Because he created us to be holy, and he redeemed us to be holy. And that's the only way holiness is possible. And here's the final verse for today. But you must always act like your Father in heaven. Remember, kids, there is a holy Father looking at you and expecting you to be just like him. It is my prayer that you allow God to shower you with his grace and make you as holy as you need to be. Amen. Now, Jesus is mine and is yours as well. So let's stand and sing.